The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Seneca's letter number 13. Whenever you are surrounded by people trying to convince you that you are unhappy, consider not what you hear them say, but what you yourself feel. And since that was so short, let me read it one more time. Whenever you are surrounded by people trying to convince you that you are unhappy, consider not what you hear them say, but what you yourself feel. Now, you might hear this and think to yourself, why would I surround myself by people who are trying to convince me that I'm unhappy? And yet, this does happen. You know, people become friends with other people for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's their personality or certain aspects of the personality. Sometimes it's, you know, mutual interest, mutual involvement, mutual utility. Sometimes it's just the fact that you spend time with them. You know, people who are your coworkers at work who you just spend all day with. You can default into those friendships, and it is entirely possible for those people to be the types of people who make you feel like you are unhappy or try to convince you that you're unhappy. An example of this, not from my own friendships, but from my experience as a high school teacher at a girls' school, is that there are, believe it or not, high school girls who love drama, quote unquote. Even when there are no problems happening, they always have to be, you know, generating problems or whether through, you know, gossiping about other people or through projecting motives and intentions onto other people, you know, creating conflicts where no conflicts exist. And I would often see, you know, thankfully in our school, there were not a lot of girls like this, but, you know, there were situations where there'd be a girl who is good-natured and peace-loving and happy and, you know, whatever. And she will be in the proximity of a girl or in the class of a girl who is one of these like drama loving girls, and that drama loving girl will spread the unhappiness and the malcontent to the good natured girl, you know? And it's just a matter of exposure, really, you know? And so although these types of people are not going to overtly say that they are trying to convince others that they're unhappy, that is what their actions do, is they're constantly bringing, whether it's through complaining or making accusations, they're constantly bringing things up that make other people feel unhappy. So when I read this, my first personal thought was, thank God that my own friend group is not like this. You know, my peers, my chavrusas, my community, I don't hang around people who are like this. And same thing on my social media. You know, my social media of choice is Facebook. I've been on Facebook for a very long time now, 15 years, I guess. And because a lot of my friends are not people who live in my community, then that's really how I get a lot of my social fulfillment. And thankfully, my social media, experience is not filled with these people. You know, I've heard that there are people who have, you know, Facebook accounts or Instagram accounts or whatever, what have you, where it's just a bunch of people showing off only the most glamorous aspects of their life. You know, they're showing their successes and their material luxury and their beauty and all this other stuff, and it just becomes this bubble of exposure to fake perfection, and because you are aware of the problems in your own life, and you are not aware of the problems in the lives of the people who are displaying, you know, these good things on their social media, you just end up feeling bad about your own situation. My own social media experience is not like that. I've curated my friend group to the point where it is people who are interested in self-improvement and knowledge and Torah and discussion and ideas. And I thankfully am not exposed to those other things. So that was my first thought. But my second thought was that there is an area in which I think I am exposed to people who are trying to convince me that I'm unhappy. And it's not really people per se, and it's not that they're trying to convince me that I'm unhappy, but it has that same effect. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the news cycle. Now, I'm not someone who follows the news religiously, and all of my exposure to the news is really through the internet, mostly through Facebook and Twitter. But there are, we do live in a world where we are bombarded with all the news from every corner of the globe and everything that's going on. And, it's no secret that the news is reported is going to be largely negative. It's going to be calling attention to problems. I guess my biggest exposure to this was really during the pandemic, starting in March 2020 and continuing through, I'd say, at least March of 2021, probably until the summer of 2021, when I followed the news a lot, as we all did. And it was, this constant feeling of tension and awareness of all the problems that are going on in the world. And it just promotes this continual underlying hum of dread and helplessness and constant reminders of things that should make us unhappy. And I'm just wondering aloud how much that really affects us in ways that we don't that we're unaware of. I have these periods where I go on a cabin retreat where I'm really free of the news cycle, and that is one of the benefits, of these cabin retreats is that I have no I'm disconnected from the world. I have no idea what's going on. In fact, I guess one of the more memorable ones was 2 winters ago when I, so we're talking January 2021, and I don't need to talk about what turbulent events were going on in the world then, but it was just really, really nice to be off the grid for almost a full week and to not have any exposure to this outside stuff. I kind of wonder how someone like Seneca or Marcus Aurelius, both of whom were very high up in politics and government, well, Marcus Aurelius especially, who was the emperor, they had to be aware of what was going on around them in their society and in their country, and they had responsibilities, to their fellow man. And I wonder how, especially Marcus Aurelius, I wonder how he struck that balancing act where he is aware of all of the suffering that's going on around him, and he was very involved in helping to alleviate that suffering. But I guess, I wonder how he prevented that from having this effect that we have experienced through the news cycle, where we're constantly being reminded of all the bad things in the world and of all these other people who are unhappy, and having that, that constant exposure to this feeling of unhappiness. So that's just an open question here. I had another thought as well, which is the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, Sefer Hamada, Hilchos Deos, Vav Aleph. This is the Laws of Character Traits, Chapter 6, Halacha 1, where he says, Derech b'riyaso shel adam lios nimshach b'deosov uv'ma'asav achar re'ev chaverav. It is human nature for a person to be drawn in his ideas, or his, sorry, his character traits and in his actions after his peers and friends, v'nohag b'minhag anshei medinaso, and to behave in the manner of the people in his society. Lefikach, therefore, tzarech adam lihischaber latadikim v'leishiv etzel hachachamim tamid kedesh yilmu maaseihem. Therefore, a person needs to befriend the righteous and to sit, literally to sit next to chachamim constantly, to the wise constantly, in order to learn from their actions. V'yisrach min ha'rasha'im ha'holchim b'choshech, and to distance himself from the wicked who walk in darkness, k'deish lo yilma mimasem, so that he does not learn from their actions. Hu sheshlomo omer, this is what Shlomo, King Solomon says, holech es chachamim yechkam v'ro'ek silim yeroa. One who walks with the wise will become wise, and one who befriends fools will be broken. V'omer, and he says, and David HaMelech, King David says in the first, in Tehillim Aleph, in the first Pasuk, first verse in the book of Psalms, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rasha'im v'gomer. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked and does not stand on the path of sinners and does not sit in the session of scorners. So I was thinking about that, and I was actually thinking, so that's basically saying that you are going to be influenced in your character traits by the people around you. And I was thinking about the pasuk that he quotes from Mishlei, which is Mishlei Yud Gimel Chaf, 13:20, which is Holech es chachamim yechkam b'ruach silim yeroa. One who walks with the wise will become wise, and one who befriends fools will be broken. And that's actually a pun in Hebrew, because ro'eh Reish Ayin He means to befriend. Some learn it to mean shepherd, but I'm going to learn it as befriend because that's how the Rambam is learning it. And then Yeroah will be broken, is also from a similar letters in the word there. So it's a pun. So the question though is, what does it mean that one who befriends fools will be broken? So I did a quick review of the commentators, and most, if not all of them, say that it means basically that you're going to learn from the fools, and you're going to make decisions like they do, and you're going to get consequences, bad consequences, in the same way that they do. Or you will be collateral damage, that you're going to be hanging with a bad crowd, and they're going to do things that are going to bring consequences upon themselves. And since you're part of their group, then you're going to suffer those consequences as well. But what I'd like to suggest is that there is a more subtle harm that you're going to get from befriending Kselim. Kselim are, these fools, these Mishlei fools are people who are, driven by this world where they're a complete victim of their emotions in terms of their view of reality. And a lot of these people are going to be perpetually unhappy, because they're chasing things that they can't have, or they're chasing fantasies that are infinite. And look at Sefer Kohelis for details on this, on Shlomo HaMelech's other book, Ecclesiastes. Or they're going about trying to fulfill their desires in ineffective ways. I was reading this pasuk in light of that excerpt from Seneca, and if you are friends with Kselim, with Mishlei fools, they will, whether directly or through example, they will be constantly reminding you of their own unhappiness and their own unrealistic standards of happiness, and you will be infected by those standards. You're going to absorb those standards. And I saw a midrash it's quoted in Yalkut Shimoni and Midrash Mishlei, that is a really good analogy here. So it says, on our pasuk, so this is holich es chachamim yachkam, one who walks with the wise will become wise. This may be compared to a person who enters into a perfumery. That's a word, right? A perfume store. Even though he doesn't sell anything to him or buy anything from him, who yotze v'recho nodev, he's gonna leave the store and he's going to smell really nice. And the aroma of his garments will be fragrant. And that aroma will not depart from him all day. This is a person about whom it is said, one who walks with the wise will become wise. But one who befriends fools will be broken. Mashal le'echad shenichnas lechanusa shel burski. This it may be compared to a person who enters the a tannery, a hide tannery, a place where they prepare leather, which is extremely stinky. Afa pi she'eno mocher lo ve'eno lokech mimeno. Even though he does not sell to him and does not buy from him, hu yotze, he'll leave. Recho v'reach begadav meluchlachin, and his odor and the odor of his garments will be filthy. And that stench will not depart from him all day long. And about him it is said, one who befriends fools will be broken. I think that's a really good metaphor here, because the metaphor explicitly says that you go into these stores and you don't sell and you don't buy. In other words, you could be hanging out with someone who's a Mishleik fool who reeks of unhappiness, and you don't even necessarily buy into that person's vision of what happiness is. You might have your values straight, and you might not actually be, partaking of his values, and yet you are going to pick up on his stench, and that unhappiness is going to plague you, and infect you, and make you less happy despite your values. That is what the Rambam was describing, is just by hanging around these people, then you're going to be influenced by them and affected by them in ways that you are not actively aware of, that you're not actively like monitoring. So, and the opposite is also true, that if you hang around Chachamim and Tzaddikim, the wise and the righteous, then you're going to pick up on their happiness and their contentedness with their life, and their being sameach b'chalko, the fact that they're happy with their portion, and all those other good qualities, and that will affect your mood as well. So the moral of the story here is what the Rambam says, according to the Torah. There's a mitzvah of hanging around people who, the more perfected people you hang around, meaning quantitatively, the more of these people form your social group, and the more perfected they are, the more they're gonna influence you for the good, and the opposite is also true. And again, from a very Mishleic standpoint, you should live a life that is going to make you happy. In other words, this is not moral advice. This is like advice from the perspective of your own happiness and quality of life. So I don't know how to reconcile this point with what I just said about this constant media bombardment, but maybe I should find ways to dial down my exposure to all the negativity in the world, especially those things that I can't do anything about. And again, how does one balance that with a life aimed at justice and righteousness? How did Marcus Aurelius do it? How did Shlomo HaMelech do it? That's a question that I cannot answer for now, but I'll leave as a question. Okay, that's it for today's episode. If you, oh, by the way, I should have said this at the beginning. I don't know if you can tell on the recording that I my speech is impaired because I bit my tongue last night, which is one of those things that, every time it happens, I'm like, when was the last time I bit my tongue? And it's just, you never see it coming, and so last night I thought it was fine. This morning it's a little swollen, so that's why my speech is a little impaired. But it's a funny category of given Stoicism and Epictetus's emphasis on things you can and can't control. Like, can I control that? Theoretically, yes, but I don't know what makes me more prone to biting my tongue. So that's what happened. Anyway, if you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, in fact, you know what? I'm going to cut short my thing because I have a chavrus in 1 minute, and if they call, I don't know what's going to happen to the recording. So, the routine. Okay, have a good day.